This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, and I will be talking about the markets and still with quite a focus on the precious metals in this first hour. I also do want to mention that we have been having some trouble getting the full hour long uploaded to the podcast. We're still working on that, but some back end website updates seem to be messing a little bit with what goes on in iTunes. But I do appreciate all of the emails from everybody, and I always love hearing from everyone, so please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. I am kicking off the show with Byron King. He is the co-editor of The Gold Speculator, writes that along with Jim Rickards. And Byron, you and I were both at a couple conferences just this last weekend in Vancouver, and one thing that really stood out to me, at least, is that the only thing that is helping to drive any stocks in the resource sector when it comes to juniors is true exploration drilling. Is that what you're finding as well?
Yes. First, it's really nice to talk with you. It's been too long. We should do this more often. Now, as far as your question goes, what I detected was a real desire of companies to be known as explorers versus developers. It's kind of like everybody has seen that sort of like S curve that's sort of set on its side, the Lassonde curve. That when you're an exciting explorer, your share price goes up, 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 up. And then when you transition over to being a boring, de-risking developer, your share price goes down, 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 down. And then as you start to build your mine or whatever, then, you know, then finally you get kicked back up because you're being re-rated as a real mine, you know. So everybody wants to be an explorer. Nobody wants to be a developer. And we really don't have that many companies that have made a transition from explore to develop to produce. Although we've talked about this before. You know how much I like Victoria Gold in the Yukon, which you know, has gone from explorer to developer. And they're building their mine, and it's going to be up and running, stacking ore in the end of June of this year. But yeah, nobody wants to be a developer. Everyone wants to be an explorer. It's very strange. It's good in the sense that, you know, explorers are doing the things explorers should do. Everybody seems to have read the same textbook. You know, we're going to go out there. You know, first you secure your title, of course. You know, then you get your First Nations issues squared away. You make sure that there's no huge environmental, you know, problems, because if you don't have that, then it really doesn't matter what you've got. Then you go out there and you start to get into the rocks. You do your geochemistry, you do your geophysics, you finish your mapping, you do your trenching, you do your drilling. There's a whole series of steps that you need to take, all of which, you know, depending where you are, depending the geology, can deliver you, you know, a package that you can take to the market and impress everybody. And that's a good thing. I guess I'll kind of cap this off by saying one of the things that explorers need to remember to do, though, is to de-risk themselves along the way, because it doesn't matter how great an explorer you are, no matter how many wonderful holes you pull out of the ground or how many trenches you dug that revealed something, there are just other aspects of de-risking that you need to do to get yourself to become more than just an interesting science project, you know, an interesting geological experiment that we found some really interesting mineralogy out in the woods someplace, you know what I mean?
I do absolutely know what you mean, and that's unfortunately been a problem for some of these companies, is that we see a nice discovery hole and even a couple holes to follow up on that, but then in the prior year and the next drill program, the company goes about with more of an infill drill program to still possibly expand the resource, but that really de-risks it. However, that only seems to hurt the share prices. We see share prices trickle down. How important is it for you to, first of all, understand that the company is focused on still de-risking, but understanding that they're draining their cash and their share price is going down?
Well, yes. The de-risking, I think, is very important, because we actually saw a hint of this, or a reflection of this, in the Newmont Goldcorp deal. I mean, you know, we're moving from juniors to the big guys now, to the multi-billion dollar guys, but you know, Goldcorp has done a not as good job, let's just say. I'm not going to defame anybody, but just say that they haven't done such a nice job for their shareholders for the last 5 years. I mean, they used to be an almost $30 stock, and they're getting bought at like 10, you know, or 10 or 11 bucks, you know. Goldcorp produced a lot of gold. They made a lot of, you know, they've covered a lot of projects, they've done a lot of things, but somehow or another, they just never really delivered that kind of shareholder return that, you know, the people want to see. Newmont, by contrast, is very focused on, you know, we don't care what the price of gold is. We just assume we're working with $1,200 gold, and we just want to make sure we can make our 15%, you know, return on investment, rate of return for what we're doing. And so Newmont has done well in terms of maintaining its shareholder value through the last couple of years, which were very tough. I mean, a lot of big companies, you know, gold mining types, they lost shareholder value. Newmont, you know, kind of maintained it. And so here's Newmont buying the Goldcorp assets at a tremendous discount compared with a couple of years ago. Newmont will do what, you know, what happens in these kind of things. They'll lay people off here and there. They'll shed some non-core assets, or tier three, maybe tier two assets, whatever. You know, get rid of those babies. But they'll take the best of the Goldcorp stable, the best horses of that stable, and they'll run them in a Newmontian kind of way, and you know, make their 15% or more. So in terms of de-risking, you know, using those big guys, the big elephants, as an example, the small guys, you need to de-risk too. They need to de-risk along the way. You want to give you an example of an explorer who has really done a nice de-risking effort?
Yeah, a couple examples if you can, but let's start with one.
Okay. Sabina Gold, up in Nunavut, way north in Canada. I mean, it's a snowball's throw to the Arctic Circle up there. It's Precambrian rock. It's banded iron formations, gold-infused banded iron formations, classic Precambrian BIF. It's great stuff. Same rock as the Homestake mine in South Dakota. I mean, it's different rock. I mean, it's 2,000 miles away, you know, but in terms of like the geologic style and everything, you know, banded iron formation, that was Homestake. 125-year mine life, 50 million ounces at Homestake, South Dakota. These guys, Sabina, are working in banded iron formations in banded, you know, up in the north there. Okay. Lots of logistical problems. I mean, first thing you say when you see this company and hear about it is like, oh, geez, you mean they're up like where Santa Claus lives, man. You know, you look out and you see Santa's reindeer, you know, grazing on the snow. I mean, this place is far away. But they've done a great job, fabulous job geologically, fabulous job in terms of building a resource. 7 million ounces, not too shabby, high grade. So you're far north, you need a cold weather miner, lots of ounces, good grade. Now what? They're still an explorer, but so here's an example of a company that is an explorer. They've done a great geology program, great chemistry program, incredible geophysics, really nice drilling program that's found a lot of gold, and they de-risked the whole project in a logistical sense. Love it.
All right, Byron, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but for everybody listening on the radio, please come visit kereport.com, where Byron and I do discuss a little bit more detail into some other companies that he is following in his newsletter that he thinks offers some potential for investors. Remember, again, this is a very select market, so being selective and understanding what time frame for investment is very important. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
A doctor's office visit for erectile dysfunction on my smartphone? That's crazy.
No, that's thebestedpill.com. ED can affect 40% of men by age 40. Now there's a 95% less expensive option than Viagra. After a live confidential video consult with a fully licensed doctor, we ship medicines fast, free, and direct in discreet packaging. Read thousands of five-star reviews. Click thebestedpill.com. That's THEBESTEDPILL.com. The online doctor's office.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes. And the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed the first segment with Byron King. In this segment, I am chatting with Chris Kimball. He's become a regular guest on our show, and I keep on outlining how much I enjoy the way Chris looks at charts and the way he presents these charts. For everybody listening on the radio or on our podcast, I highly recommend visiting our website, kereport.com, and the first hour weekend show posting to follow along with the charts that Chris and I are chatting about. And Chris, we're going to focus a bit on currencies, some longer term charts for currencies, because this week we saw some pretty wild moves in the US dollar and the euro, all on the back of ECB comments and a Wall Street Journal's article. Let's start off by talking about the U.S. dollar. You have sent me a weekly chart that dates back to 2006, and it shows the potential of a head and shoulders topping-like pattern that the dollar could be setting up to form if it gets a little bit more of a bounce. Can you break down the importance of this chart, please?
Hey, thanks, Corey, for having us back. You do such a wonderful job. Yeah, Corey, you know, it's perspectives are always different when you look at different time frames. As you just mentioned, this chart's, you know, almost 14 years in length now, as we're in 2009. And so the long 15-year trend is up. If you would just take a snapshot of the last, 5 years, Corey, from the, you know, the beginning of 2015 to the end of 2014, it's been pretty much a sideways action. If you take the high of 2016, now all of a sudden we got a series potentially of lower highs and lower lows. So, you know, last year in 2018, we obviously had a U.S. dollar rally. It's been choppy sideways for the last few months, and nothing is proven, but there's a possibility that the dollar is making a short-term topping pattern, being the head and shoulders top that you mentioned, Corey. It's incomplete and not proven, but enough times went by that if it's true, we're at the right shoulder. And then when your viewers get to look at the chart, there's obviously a support line that needs to be broken at point number two to have a chance that the head and shoulders is a correct read.
Okay, and that support line is right around that 95 level right now, but sloping higher. And again, for this right shoulder to develop, this could take another couple weeks to a month, couldn't it?
It could, Corey. And as people get to look at this chart, it's not the most pretty head and shoulders pattern, but, and I didn't highlight it on this chart, but just while we're here, Corey, there's a chance that the dollar is making a multi-year head and shoulders top with the left shoulder in 2015-16, the top in early 2017, and now we're at the right shoulder, you know, of this 4 to 5 year potential topping pattern. So, you know, we have a chance that we're micro, a small head and shoulders topping pattern. And then as you zoom out, we could be making a much bigger multi-year head and shoulders. And the only thing I don't like about it, Corey, is the neckline's really sloppy, you know, on this long-term pattern that I was bringing up. But big key is right now, if the dollar would turn weak and break the support line that you mentioned around 95, it could be positive for commodities and metals.
It very much could be, but when you zoom out and look at that much larger head and shoulders pattern, as you said, that multi-year head and shoulders pattern, there is an argument to be made that the dollar could very much continue this sideways move for at least another year, wouldn't you say?
It really could. Like I said, it's kind of a sloppy pattern. I didn't highlight it, but it can't be ruled out. But, you know, for that pattern to really be true, Corey, we'd need to see the dollar at least, you know, eclipse the 90 level. So that'd be another, 5-6% below current prices. So long way to prove that one.
All right, let's move on to the next chart, and this is the U.S. dollar to Canadian dollar. You point out that the potential lower highs over the past few years and a double top over the past 2 years could be signifying a bit more of a downtrend here. So that means strength in the Canadian dollar, weakness in the U.S. dollar. Why do you think this could be the new trend that's in place?
Well, again, you know, Corey, depends on the pattern or the time frame that you want to look at. Our viewers will get to see this is a 25-year, a quarter-century chart looking at the U.S. dollar, Canadian dollar. And when you look at it in that way, Corey, we've had a series of lower highs in 2001 and 2016, and then lower lows in 2007 and 11. Obviously, the rally off the bottom of the support line from 2011 to current was very hard on all of the metals and commodities assets. But yet, since the 2015 high, 2016, if you were a buyer of, you know, gold, silver, or miners when the Canadian dollar was hitting the top of this channel, you know, the last few years, you got some decent gains. And so, as you mentioned, Corey, there's a chance that early 2019 is a double top from the 2017 high, and then over the last, 4 years, there's a chance that it's creating lower highs and lower lows. So a key support line is in play for, you know, U.S. dollar, Canadian dollar at number one on the chart that we included today.
So can you speak to kind of the gradual nature of this decline? You point out these much wider downward sloping channel, but within this shorter term channel, it's still not falling out of bed. It's just slightly more downward biased.
That's correct, Corey. Over since the beginning of 17, the U.S. dollar, Canadian dollar has made a series of higher lows. There's no doubt. And that's what's forming this support line. So it's in a jam, almost a pennant pattern, Corey, between falling resistance and rising support. So it's in a tight place that one of the two is going to give. And again, for those being, I just kind of want people to, as we talked about last week's call, kind of be a Boy Scout, be prepared that if this support line gives way at one, if the support in the dollar at that neckline gives way, it would send a positive message to the hard-hit commodity space.
Okay. The next chart is the Aussie dollar, which is highly correlated to gold, silver, and commodities, as you point out. And this is in a rising channel. Again, this is another long-term chart dating back to 1995. But we are hitting this lower part of the channel. The Aussie dollar really needs a bounce here, doesn't it?
It does, Corey. And so I was, you know, I've never found in my 39 years in the business that there's a holy grail of one indicator or one currency to look at. And that's why I like sharing with our customers and your, you know, great viewing audience, you know, just multiple ways to look at this. And as you said accurately, Corey, Aussie dollar has high correlation to gold, silver, and commodities.
Chris, I always appreciate having you on the show, and I appreciate, as I said, the way that you look at these charts. Good summary there as to how the currencies could move or could support or even could hamper a little bit of the commodities move. But as you said, you are looking bullishly at the metals. We just need some more confirmation. Chris, great chatting with you. Thanks for spending time with us on this weekend show.
Thanks so much.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The partial government shutdown is over.
I'm excited that the government will be reopening. I think it's about time.
I get to go back to work on Monday. I can't wait.
Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
The shutdown ends. 800,000 federal workers will get their paycheck. Millions of Americans who depend on federal government services will be getting those services once again.
It's a deal that the president had said he wouldn't make, but he did extract one promise from it. Congressional leaders will now spend the next 3 weeks negotiating a border security package.
If we don't get a fair deal from Congress, the government will either shut down on February 15th again, or I will use the powers afforded to me under the laws and the Constitution of the United States to address this emergency.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I am chatting with Mike Larson. Michael writes the Safe Money Report over at Weiss Ratings. You can also follow along with Mike, something that I do on Twitter, at RealMikeLarson. Mike, what I want to talk about is what happens during the cycle when we see the Fed pause. We've seen this happen many times in history, and you started to dive into some of the trends as to what markets do and what other sectors respond when we do have a central bank switch course, but not dramatically switch course. Instead of doing a 180, the Fed is very much doing a 90-degree turn and waiting to see how the markets react. What can you tell us about what history tells us we should expect?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's been a narrative. It's a narrative you hear on financial TV. You see in the press sometimes, and a lot of people will come on, guests will come on and say, hey, you know, if the Fed is signaling that it's going to pause, that's bullish for the markets. And clearly, in the short term, that's how people have traded this thing. When you look at what's happened, you know, all the Fed talk after December has been more dovish. They're not going to hike most likely at the end of January. They're probably not going to hike for the next few months at least, and just sort of sit back and see how things unfold. But when you look at actual data, instead of just, you know, this fictional story that Fed pauses after a series of hikes are bullish, you see a different story. There's one cycle in the last basically four decades where you've seen a strong bullish reaction to a Fed pause after a series of hikes, and that was in 94 and 95. Every other time we've seen it happen, especially in the last two cycles, it's really presaged disaster for the economy and for the stock market. If you look at the Fed pause that happened back in, you know, the mid-2000s, within a few months, the market was already topping out in terms of tech stocks. The overall S&P was about to roll over. The economy was several months away from a recession. The S&P 500 ultimately plunged 50% in the months and year that, or the 2 years that followed that Fed pause. And the Fed had to cut interest rates all the way to 1% to try and, you know, calm things down and get the economy and the markets going again. That, of course, helped lay the groundwork for the housing bubble that we had. The Fed stopped hiking there back in 2006, and within a few months, the housing market had topped out. A few months after that, the S&P 500 had topped out, and ultimately, the stock market fell 57% in one of the worst bear markets we've seen since the Great Depression. And, of course, the economy itself was in a recession for many, many, many long months. So the history, especially in the last quarter century, of Fed pauses and what impact they suggest the market will have, the economy will have, haven't been bullish. Again, you have to go back to 94, 95. And what's interesting about that cycle is that was only a couple years into the economic recovery from the 1990, 91 recession. You know, that was caused by the savings and loan crisis, the Iraqi invasion, and the surge in oil prices and all that. You know, we were coming out of that. We had only been out of that for about 3 years when the Fed paused, and the bull market had only been going for a couple of years when the Fed paused. So, you know, that's a completely different scenario from what we have now. We've had 9-plus years of bull market up until early 2018. Now, we've had one of the longest economic expansions on record. So to suggest that there's any comparison between the Fed pausing now after 9-plus years of bullish activity and back then when it was only a couple years into an recovery and a bull market just seems ridiculous to me. So if anything, given the overvaluation of assets, given the duration of this stretch of low rates that preceded this, given the duration of the bull market and the recovery, I think this Fed pause, if anything, is going to look more like the last two than it will look like what happened in the mid-1990s.
There is such a difference, though, isn't there, between a Fed being paused and what I think some people are already jumping to is the Fed doing a QE program. With the Fed paused and being a market watcher, that's really what they're waiting for, isn't it, to either see the markets move higher or stabilize, or if they do break down, something more severe, something that brings the economy into a recession, and we hear everybody talking about, well, having no bid on certain stocks. That's when the Fed steps in and starts a QE program. There's a big difference there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And I think that the biggest mistake people are making that are saying, well, if things start to go down, the Fed will just launch QE and everything will be hunky-dory, is that the reason QE works, and I put the word worked in quotes because it depends on your viewpoint, the reason QE succeeded in inflating asset prices was because when it was launched and when rates were cut to zero, assets were extremely cheap. The crash had already happened. Housing was ridiculously cheap at the point that they initiated those policies. Stocks had fallen already by 57% for the S&P 500 and so on. So that's why that kind of policy worked. And QE2 and QE3 after it continued to work because it was early in the economic and credit cycle. But now, if the Fed came out tomorrow and launched a big QE program, I have no doubt that for a day or two, maybe a week, maybe even a couple weeks, the S&P 500 is going to go up. But ultimately, that's going to fail. And the reason it's going to fail is because assets are already the most expensive they've ever been relative to GDP. House prices are already wildly inflated relative to incomes. The value of everything from commercial real estate to artwork to, you know, billionaire houses in New York City and Los Angeles and so on, they're already wildly inflated. So it's not going to do that. It's not going to have that same kind of effect, even if it was launched now, that it did over the past several years. So people are looking at history and just assuming that path or that ability of QE to succeed in the past will also succeed in the future, and that's a wrong judgment in my opinion. Things have absolutely changed, and you can see it in the behavior of certain markets. You can see it in the behavior of credit. You can see it in the behavior of things like the financial sector, the financial stocks, which led the market into this downturn, and even with this recovery are really only back to where they were in December. There's lots of indicators suggesting that essentially we're correct when we say the credit cycle's turned, the economic cycle's turned, and that means that policies that worked during the bullish phase of this market cycle will not work during the bearish phase. So not only do I not think the Fed's going to turn around and launch QE tomorrow, I believe that even if they did, the short-term impact would not last for very long, if at all.
Now, as much as we talk just about the Fed, quite frankly, there's been other central banks around the world after the Fed stopped their QE program that you can make the argument still supported that move higher in U.S. equities. We're starting to see a bit of a shift in terms of these other central banks turning more hawkish, but earlier this week, we already heard from the Bank of Japan that is still worried about growth and is still keeping a very dovish central bank policy on tap. How important is it to understand that these other central banks, too, are still, I don't consider them as hawkish as the Fed, even after this Fed pause?
Here's the issue that I have with overseas central banks, and particularly the two you mentioned, the ECB and the BOJ. They missed the entire cycle. They missed the entire opportunity to try and escape some of these ridiculous policies they put in place, and now they're trapped. You're in a situation where, you know, supposedly all this wondrous policy was going to make the economy be great and, you know, everything was going to be rosy. And yet here, Europe's on the cusp of potentially a recession. And the ECB is sitting there, you know, standing around saying, geez, we never hiked interest rates. We never got really out of QE, although they cut it back a little bit. Now what are we going to do? And the BOJ is even further behind the curve, having not done anything. So I think the real issue for these guys and the real issue for the markets is that anything they do at this point, they're sort of trapped, right? Part of this, the QE effect is that investors sort of shake hands with the central banks and buy along with them. But they will completely lose confidence, the confidence of the market. If the markets see those economies slipping into recession, despite not having raised rates, despite not dramatically cutting back QE, what does it say about the effectiveness of their policies? It shows that they're completely ineffectual. So I think that, again, so much of what's going on now is a change in confidence. It's a change in the willingness to take on risk. And it's a change in the ability and, again, sort of the mindset of investors to shake hands with these policies. And I think that and the policymakers behind them. So I think what's going to happen now is that we're going to see that trust loss, that confidence loss. And I don't think that central banks are going to have the same impact on markets that they did over the last several years. And, again, that's a change. That's a change in tone. It's a change in the, sort of the market narrative that I think a lot of people aren't appreciating. But as these losses on a lot of these risky loans go up, as some of these extreme deal-making volumes start to fall, as many of these IPOs that should have never come public fail and go bankrupt, a lot of things are going to turn. People are going to start losing money on many of these risky bets. And that means they're not going to be willing to take on the risks they were 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So, again, a change in the market environment, almost regardless of how central banks respond, is kind of what I see happening over the next year or two.
Mike, great chatting with you. Again, follow Mike on Twitter, at Real Mike Larson, and follow along with his newsletter, Safe Money Report, over at Weiss Ratings. Mike, thanks again for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I am chatting with John Kaiser, founder of Kaiser Research. And John, I first just want to get your opinion on where the gold market stands as we are now in 2019 and arguably still on at least a little bit of an uptrend. However, gold is pretty much stopped out right below 1300. It can't quite break that level. And of course, we're all looking then at the about 1360 to 1370 level for a true breakout. How do you see the setup for the precious metals in 2019 playing out?
I think in 2019, we're going to see the audience for gold broaden beyond the traditional base of gold bugs, who typically are more of a right-wing nature. They're not particularly keen about gold right now, because to start saying you need to buy gold, everything's falling apart, is to implicitly give a thumbs down to their hero, the President of the United States. And so the whole enthusiasm at these conferences and that, it is somewhat muted. But on the other hand, I was kind of excited last week when I saw this video interview of some billionaire hedge fund manager called Sam Zell, who was saying that he's bought gold for the first time ever. And I kind of shrugged and, you know, okay, it's a big deal. But then at the conference in Vancouver, I was speaking to a traditional gold bug, and I mentioned this, and this gold bug dismissively said, "Oh, he's a liberal." And the light went off in my head, and I said, wow, it's happening. Gold is becoming a protest channel for all these frustrated liberals in America who can do absolutely nothing about the direction that the Republican administration is taking the country, with the shutdown, with the foreign policy. And so I'm expecting that gradually, as the year goes by, gold, which has been forsaken by the gold bugs, and, you know, they maybe piled into Bitcoin and stuff like that and got their heads handed to them in that black hole, I think we're going to see a much broader audience. And the trigger will be some geopolitical crisis. I'm watching very closely what's going on in the Ukraine, you know, that the Russians grabbed those three Ukrainian ships in the Sea of Azov, and that's actually a big deal, but nobody wants to talk about it. And then there was some Russian official mouthing off about how the Ukraine is not going to be a state for very long, and the Ukraine has really annoyed Russia by allowing its Orthodox Church to split off from the main one that's Russian. So if Putin, while America's dealing with its shutdown and obsession with the wall and all these other things, decides to invade the Ukraine, what is America going to do? The same thing with China. I mean, that Trump and Xi Jinping are trying to resolve this trade war, but there's really no way that this can have a happy ending, because the United States wants nothing less than China to stand down from its ambition of being at least an equal rival to the United States on the global stage, and perhaps even to exceed the United States in domination. So this is also as unsolvable a problem as this wall shutdown domestically. And if China's own internal problems with its economy slowing, hurt by the trade war, if it goes to a 20% tariff in the next couple of months, it'll make it even worse. China has internal problems, so one way you deal with that is to create a distraction, and this Taiwan issue has really bugged China forever. And if they decide enough is enough and decide you are part of China, stop pretending that you're not, we're basically annexing you, again, what is the United States going to do about it? Reinstate the draft and start sending soldiers over there to beat back the Chinese from Taiwan? Both these types of areas, these areas in the world, the potential flashpoints that can unmask the United States as really not being able to make much difference. And if something like this starts to happen, and all the United States can do is, oh, we're going to do sanctions against you, people can say it's falling apart. Humpty Dumpty has fallen off the wall, and we can't put it together again. And then there's going to be, I think, a rush into gold, as everybody realizes we have no idea how this is going to play out. And so I think, because nothing's going to change in the United States for the next 2 years, we have a two-year window where gold is going to start going up. And it's not like the U.S. dollar is going to go down, because all the other currencies you don't want to own either. So gold is sort of the one asset class which you can take home and hide and sit on. You can't do that with bitcoins or in cryptocurrency, because those float around in cyberspace. So I'm optimistic that this threshold that it needs to go through, last beyond 1400. Once it does that, it will keep going, and you will see new audiences. The majority of Americans who did not vote for the current president, they are all potential buyers of gold. And, of course, they're not going to be that interested in the juniors. But when you start seeing a real price increase in gold, a sustained increase across all currencies, that's where the bar for what counts as a gold discovery starts to be lowered, and all the optionality ounces in the ground also start kicking in. I think this year we're actually in a turning point. The 7-year bear market that's now in its 8th, it's going to turn out that this is the beginning of a 7-year feast.
All right, John, so you outlined there a lot of geopolitical issues, which, in all fairness, can be very, very difficult to time for the market, and sometimes can be very short-lived. However, some of these geopolitical issues do creep into the financial system. Just look at what these trade wars have done, and, quite frankly, struggling economies around the world. But as you said, the juniors really need some sort of a boost from the metals price to get more people interested. Right now, it's a very select market for which juniors are running. That's what you focus on, though, on your website. Before we get into which juniors are good, what have you seen as driving the price of juniors higher? It seems right now to be a lot of true exploration drilling and nothing else.
Well, a new intersection with high grade. High grade is the magic phrase. You know, a big long intersection, you know, 300 meters of, 0.3% copper and 0.1 gram per ton gold. Nobody cares about that. What they're looking for is flash. Anytime you get very high grade copper gold values or gold silver values, the market pays attention. You know, we saw last year Royal Nickel take off. They got a little bit of a bump a couple days ago when they reported more of this 1,000 gram per ton intersection. Another little junior called Amex, which has a skinny vein, came up with a very high gold grades over, you know, short intervals. And of course, you know, we saw Sun Metals last year with the intersection of copper and gold that was double and thicker than anything that had been previously intersected, that saved that season for them after having spent about $5-6 million over the past year and a half, and now they're fully financed to go back in. And the one that I've been watching most closely is West Haven Ventures, which in the British Columbia's Spence's Bridge Belt, which is this 100-kilometer-long belt of volcanic rocks, which have always been seen as having potential for low sulfidation epithermal systems. Various juniors have explored it since 2000, but nobody has ever really come up with anything to get truly excited about. And last year, West Haven itself, which picked up the claims various projects in that belt in 2011, and has been plodding along at sort of 10 cents plus or minus, five or six cents during this whole time with small programs, finally locked into a very high-grade gold-silver vein. And this took the stock from 10 cents to $1.30. It got smacked on Monday, and then on Tuesday when the Americans came back from their holiday after they put out results not quite as flashy as before. But this type of discovery in an area where potential has always been seen but never validated, and suddenly you start coming up with something, this is what, in this market, I'm looking for, these new discovery stories that can create big wins.
Hey, John, I appreciate you breaking down this project, this company, and also your general thoughts on the market. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to the first hour. I'm going to turn it over to the second hour to Big Al. If you want to get in touch with me, please email me at fleck@kereport.com. Thanks for your time, John.
You're welcome, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.